Oh, snaps!
The world is finally waking up to the crap that's baked into and sprayed on kibble dog food. No longer can commercial pet food manufacturers fool us with pretty pictures and false promises. This is the raw dog food truth. The view and opinions expressed on this podcast are not intended to replace medical advice. Before starting any raw diet, do research, ask lots of questions, and consult your vet.
Well, good morning, everybody. I am Dee Dee Mercer Moffitt, the CEO of Raw Dog Food and Company, where your pet's health is our business and we're friends. Don't let friends feed kibble. No kibble, not none, nada. And Dr. Jasek, you and I were talking prior to the podcast about everything going up, everything skyrocketing, right? I had a list where it was like, okay, ammo's going up, corn's going up, wheat's going up, gas is going up, all different items, lumber. Okay. Oh my gosh. Lumber's going up. These poor people are right in the middle of building a home. I feel sorry for them. So everything's going up. And here's what we know about things going up. Companies began to cut corners. And when you really look at companies that have shareholders, people that they've got to pay dividends to, you know, or shares to, as they're called, shareholders, money to, they want their money. And they want more money. They don't want less money. So shareholders demand certain things. And when that happens, companies, and so we're saying, watch out for kibble companies. If you're feeding kibble, which we don't recommend at all, period, not a none, but that's even worse in these type of times, right, Dr. Jasek?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Because they don't have to put everything on the label. You know, there can be a lot of hidden ingredients in there they can use as fillers. And they're going out in the market and finding the cheapest ingredients. Because, yeah, when they're mass producing these foods, if they can save even a, you know, few pennies multiplied by, you know, how many millions of bags of dog food that they sell, that really adds up. So they are going to start cutting corners. So it's really important to stay with reputable companies like the ones we recommend. When I recommend specific brands, usually it's because I know they're a good quality company, good ethical company. And Dee Dee, I know you do the same on your site.
We get people coming to us all the time, as I'm sure you do too, who want to pay us to promote their product. And I'm like, I'm not doing that. If I don't believe in it, I'm not doing it. Right. I heard a reputable, a very reputable vet who has a podcast who, you know, I like a lot of their stuff. However, they were promoting a company, a raw dog food company that didn't put organs in their blend. And I emailed this vet and I said, Are you getting paid to do that? Because I've been following you and I know you don't adhere to that theory. And the response I got back was very snarky and very snide, which told me, yeah, I'm getting something.
You were right on.
I was over the target, man. I was right over the target. And so that really caused me to take a look and say, man. You know, there's so many people I think that start out doing things for the good, right? They really do. They see a problem. They want to help solve a problem. We see dogs with skin problems, digestive problems, heart problems, joint problems, you name it. We see it. And so we have a passion to help people help their dogs. But then there comes this time when people are looking at the money and they're like, oh man, I could make that much money. You betcha. Let's just skirt the issue. Let's cut corners as we were just talking about. And that's just not something that we want to do. Cause I feel like Dr. Jasek, that always comes back to bite you in the sphincter.
Exactly. it totally does. It's, you know, that's what I tell people all the time about nutrition, you know, pay now or pay later. You think feeding a fresh species appropriate diet is expensive? Well, how about treating cancer or, you know, other serious illnesses? And, you know, I, that I can get some people on board that way, but most people will see such a transformation in their pet that they get it. They're like, oh my gosh, it's just such a, it's 180, you know, their pets are just feeling so much better, doing so much better. So that usually helps convince people more that it's worth the money. But yeah, you can't just cut, you know, I eat organic as much as I can. I eat very healthy and yeah, our grocery bill. Oh my God. It's a lot, but that's something my husband and I believe in. We believe that without our health, we don't have anything. So we're going to invest that money in staying as healthy as we possibly can. And I think that's how I would hope people would look at their pet's health and their pet's nutrition.
Well, tell Chris he needs to fast twice a week. Cut that bill back.
You know, that helps. We've actually done some fasting. He's done week-long fasts.
Actually. Oh, my. It is great for you. I've seen the studies. I've seen, you know, how it cleans out the toxins. It boosts your immunity system. And it saves you a doggone buttload of money.
Yeah, I think he should fast. And I just keep eating. And then it cuts that grocery bill probably in more than in half, because he probably eats more than I do. So, yeah.
Well, you have to have your energy to do a podcast. So there you go.
That's right. I need to eat first. Right. Women and children eat first.
That's right. And then dogs. So I wanted to make an announcement. We are going to come to where Phoenix. We're heading to Phoenix, guys. So we need for you to spread the word that we will be delivering out in the Phoenix area. We will have more information about that on our website, but get that out to all your Phoenix peeps so that we can fill up a truck and get out there and get the raw dog food to Phoenix. We already ship to Phoenix, but we're going to try to get that on a weekly basis out there. So that's pretty exciting. We're expanding.
Yeah, that is that is exciting. Good for you.
Yes, yes. Now, I want to talk about today. I want to talk about natural immunity in dogs, primarily, Dr. Jacy, because I was looking over the puppy shots, right? The puppy shots. And we're all, you know, I think today people are much more aware of vaccines. Well, 50% of people are, let me say that, that I think 50% of people are really more aware of what's in a vaccine. And so why a vaccine may not be the best thing for you and your pets. But specifically, I think always there's lots of confusion about puppy vaccinations and how do I keep my puppy safe? Now, I want to hit this from a couple of different ways. We are going to talk about this specific DHPP vaccine. It's a combo vaccine. You know, what's interesting, Dr. Jacy, is that most people don't realize that the only vaccine that is required by law is what? What is the only vaccine that's required by law?
Rabies. That's it. Rabies.
That is it. That is it. Did you know that? Did you know that, my fabulous listeners?
But what's happening now, Dee Dee, which I think is just so underhandedly sneaky by a lot of clinics, is they're requiring all vaccines in order to do procedures. I had a client in this past week. She was going to go in just to get a little minor eyelid growth taken off of her dog. They're requiring a Bordetella. And she asked me, what does that have to do with the surgery? And I said, absolutely nothing. But they're pushing each other. Is that safe to give a vaccine on the same day as surgery? And I said, absolutely not. And she said, so they would risk me walking out the door and not paying them to do this whole procedure because I, you know, decline the shot. Now I still need to hear the outcome. I don't know if that's what happened, but she's asked me, what do you suggest? I said, I would push back. They cannot require that. Just say, I don't want that for my dog. And they're not used to people pushing back, but it is important for people to know what's required and what's not. And yeah, rabies is the only one that actually has legal requirements. And I think if you talk to even daycare and boarding facilities, they're getting, I think, much more educated about things like titer testing. So you can take in a titer test, which is a measure of the antibodies in the blood against certain diseases. We're even getting some that will accept no-sodes for things like the Bordetella. And so ask, you know, A, push back, and B, ask if some of these facilities will consider alternatives. Because aside from rabies, I'm finding that quite a few of them will.
That is crazy. So here's what you have to know, pet parents, what you just said, Dr. Jasek, you said only vaccinate a healthy dog.
Yes.
Healthy dog. That means no minor ailments, no skin conditions, no digestive problems, no chronic problems of any kind. And so even if it's something minor, diarrhea, urinary tract infection, and skin condition, which is what you just said that this dog had, right? They were going to remove this skin condition. You say, isn't it a matter of factual knowledge? I mean, don't you guys adhere to the policy that you only vaccinate a healthy dog? Ask right. that question. Only vaccinate a healthy dog. Have you ever heard that, Mr. Whitecoat? Have you ever heard that? Only vaccinate a healthy dog. Anywhere in your schooling, did they say that? Anywhere in the clinic, does push back. This is the problem. So it's on you if you don't push back. If you know, and now you know, if you're listening to this podcast, now you know. All right. So Dr. Jasek, here was a question that I got, and I want to talk a little bit more about these vaccines so our pet parents understand. But I have a pet parent who is homeopathic with herself, right? She doesn't vaccinate her kids. She doesn't want to vaccinate her puppies. And we see this a lot, that from putting your dog on a healthy diet and really understanding nutrition and vaccine or medication and how they work in the body, people begin to get healthy as well. So I think we're doing a double duty here. But her question was this. She was getting her dog from the breeder, and she asked the breeder to not vaccinate, because she's going to do no-sodes, okay? No-sodes, again, not a vaccination. It doesn't have all the adjuvants. It's given orally instead of injected, which we like. But she asked this question. She said, all right, if puppies are getting vaccinated, they're getting these combo vaccines, okay? They can be 5-way, 6-way, 7-way. She said, if they're shedding the virus, okay, they're going to shed that virus in their feces, and my puppy eats that feces, isn't, and this was interesting because most people are coming at it from a scary perspective, they're afraid. She said, isn't my puppy going to get a level of immunity from that viral shedding from the puppies instead of being dangerous? So I wanted to ask that question. What do you think about that type of immunity? And then she's going to get the puppy and she's going to start on no-sodes.
You know, I think that's actually a pretty, or can be a pretty safe form of building a natural immunity. Because one of the reasons we see a lot of reactions from vaccines and, you know, where dogs are, you know, getting sick afterwards and all this after a traditional vaccine that's injected. If a puppy eats some poop from a puppy that's had the parvo vaccine and they're shedding a little bit of it, that the virus in the vaccine it's going to be denatured somehow. So it's not likely to cause any disease. But the other key is that that's the natural route of exposure. So when you inject these antigens, gets into the body, can just make the immune system go kind of haywire, because it's not how these viruses are meant to be introduced. But when you allow that puppy to be exposed to the virus right in the GI tract, and the virus, it's not a, you know, full viral infection, it's been modified somehow in the vaccine, I think you stand a lot less chance of any sort of reactions, and you're still going to get some immunity that way.
Yeah, I like that. You know, and we've talked about this before, you know, people get their puppies and they're like, oh my gosh, I can't be around other dogs because they haven't had their vaccines. And
the way that I look at natural immunity and being exposed to things, I've always thought that was backwards.
Right. And even exposing the puppy, you know, to healthy dogs, even if they haven't had vaccines, you want to build that immunity. This whole thing about, you know, keeping, I mean, I've had people come in and say, well, I've been told I can't put my puppy on the ground till they're 4 months old. But they need to be down there sniffing around and building natural immunity. And so if you're taking your puppy around, you know, dogs of friends and family that, you know, they're healthy, or your neighbors, and you know that their dogs are healthy, that's perfectly fine. I think the idea that these diseases are just floating out there waiting to attack your puppy
and you
is a little bit over dramatized. So, you know, if you're aware of where you take your puppy and, you know, being around other healthy adult dogs or puppies that you know are healthy is perfectly fine. I actually recommend it.
Yeah. The DHPP vaccine, what the heck does that stand for? Well, the first one is distemper. The second one is hepatitis. The third one is parainfluenza and parvovirus. All right. So we were just talking about parvo. Parvo is the one that most people are afraid of. But here's what's interesting, Dr. Jasek. If you see these combinations, okay, when they say we're going to do these vaccines on your puppy, do for vaccines, we're going to give them the DHLPP or the DHLPPC or whatever. There's, you know, 5-way, 6-way, 7-way. I don't think that most people, what do you think, listeners, what do you think the L stands for? And it ain't love. Let me just say that. It stands for leptospirosis. Mm-hmm. Okay. And you've heard us talk about the lepto vaccine. And we would encourage you to not give that until you have really researched it and given it serious, serious consideration. This article that I was researching was talking about, Dr. Jasek, it was saying, look, you could give this DHPP one time and have lifelong immunity. What do you think about that?
I've actually demonstrated it with checking antibody levels. Now, granted, not the whole life of of some of my clients, but definitely into, you know, adulthood, where we do, because that's what I actually recommend, is doing parvo and distemper. Now, I recommend doing monovalent vaccines. I don't recommend doing the combinations, because it's a lot more. You know, instead of just one thing at a time, you're vaccinating for 4 or 5. So it's a lot more you're putting on that puppy's immune system. And we look at the disease risk. I focus on parvo and distemper because those are the two most serious disease risks, I feel, for puppies. So I recommend waiting until they're a little bit older, 9 or 10 weeks, and do parvo, and then wait a week and do distemper. So we're only giving one component at a time. And then I'll do an antibody titer test about 3 weeks after that. And with that protocol, I would say the majority of puppies, probably 85%, will have a good immunity. The thing that interferes with that, not building that good immunity with the one vaccine, is if you do it too young, then I think they still have the maternal antibodies. These are the antibodies that they got from mom that, you know, she has built in her body from the things she's been exposed to. And when those are hanging around, the puppy's immune system doesn't tend to mount quite as good of a response. But I found if you wait till, you know, 9-10 weeks and start that, they can build a good immunity. So I like to demonstrate that the puppies have built a good immunity. And then I have followed some patients out into at least young adult 3-4 years. And the antibodies are still up. So yeah, I do think it can happen. The body has that memory once it's exposed to something. I think the other thing, it doesn't make sense about this whole focus on vaccines In conventional medicine, it's like, yep, just keep, you know, give the shot, build the antibodies and you're done. And they don't talk to people about nutrition. I swing way far the other way and say, if we focus on creating a good immune system, you know, keeping the body healthy, having them on a species appropriate diet and not insulting the immune system, especially when they're really young, you know, starting puppies, you know, 5-6 weeks, they're old, they're going to be able to handle these diseases if they are exposed. So I think the need for vaccines is just way, way, way overblown. If we focus on keeping the dogs healthy with a good diet and clean lifestyle and all these other things we talk about, you know, I question that vaccines are even necessary at all.
Oh, you're going to get us thrown off of here. Oof. You're going to get us barred. Slapped down. Our sphincters are going to be silent. Okay. So I have a question for you. I want to go back to your patient who that clinic said you've got to have all these shots.
If the pet's sick, in my opinion, they shouldn't be even requiring rabies if the pet's sick, because they shouldn't be vaccinated. But they can't, in my opinion, they still can't require people to have it. In my opinion, it's people's choice. Whether if they choose not to follow the rules and not to get rabies for their, you know, for their pet, and they're aware of what the potential consequences are, then as far as I'm concerned, that's their choice. As long as I inform them of what the, you know, rules are, make them aware that that is a required vaccine, I'm under no obligation. Veterinary clinics tend to put out there that like they're obligated, like it's illegal for them to not vaccinate these dogs. And it's not on me. As long as I educate people, if they choose to decline the rabies vaccine, then that's on them. So it should be, I mean, bottom line is it should be people's choice. And they should push back, if especially if a pet's going in for a procedure, you don't want to be vaccinating them, not even within a week or even 2 weeks, ideally, of getting an anesthetic procedure. I don't recommend vaccinating. It should be a completely separate thing. But they set, you know, they set these policies, and especially the corporate clinics. And I, as much as I can, when I have to refer people out for certain procedures, I do tend to avoid the corporates, because they are looking at the bottom line. They're like, okay, the more vaccines have a really huge markup. And they know that the more vaccines they can sell, the bigger their profit margin is going to be. So they are sitting and figuring out, okay, how do we push this more? How do we recommend it? Okay, you know, they got to get their pet in for a procedure. Let's require all these vaccines, and then they'll have to get them. And well, if they're given the vaccines when the pet's there, then they're going to make the money giving the vaccines too, you know. But none of it is required. It is the choice of the pet parent, and you should be pushing back. Don't just listen when they say, well, your pet's due for this or due for this or due for this. Ask why. Why are they due for that? What is my pet's actual risk, and what are the side effects? Because most people don't. They just get the card in the mail, go in. Okay, I've done my due diligence. I, you know, went into the vet after I got the little postcard in the mail. You know, you have to start asking questions. And I bet you a lot of veterinarians won't even be able to answer questions like, why does my pet need this? And what is the risk? And what are the side effects? I think if enough people keep asking, then they're going to, you know, they're going to look like fools if they can't come back with something.
Right, right. You know, I often wonder, Dr. Jasek, you know, there is a holistic veterinarian organization, right? Mm-hmm. These holistic vets.
Mm-hmm.
They're hard to find, right? So I've had people contact me, and basically I just do a Google search, and you guys can do this. You look up holistic veterinarian, you know, associations. Now, I will say that some of them will say they're holistic when I think that they're still adhering to some of these same protocols. But You can find them, but I often wonder, why are there not more? I mean, what is the, what would be the issue that would hold back somebody from wanting to go that route? Is it shunning? Is it money? Is it there's just no support? Is there, you know, what would be the issue there? Why wouldn't they do it?
I think there's a fear of, you know, when practitioners go against what their foundational training is, the, you know, what they learned in vet school, I think there's a fear of losing their license. I think especially young vets come out of school, they just, you know, put all this time and all this money into veterinary school. And whoa, what if I practice this way? And that's not really the way I was taught. And so they're afraid of that, and they don't have the experience in it. You know, for me, I've been practicing this way for long enough, and I've just seen pets respond so much better. I could practice any other way because I really believe that this is the best way to treat pets when we treat them more holistically. So I think veterinarians need that example of, yeah, look, you can do this and the pets actually get better. They don't get worse. Cause there's this whole concept of standard of care. And if a pet is treated a certain way and a client complains to the state board, so we didn't like the way we were treated, the way my pet was handled, and they're going to look at it and determine whether or not this is accepted standard of care. And usually, like, you know, when it comes to medications, anything that's been FDA approved is considered standard of care. It's ridiculous to me because it's considered standard of care, regardless of how many side effects, like your chemotherapy drugs or antibiotics or, you know, the immunosuppressive drugs, the drugs that I try to get pets off of all the time. That's, you know, considered standard of care. But then you start talking about doing herbs and homeopathy, and maybe instead of a pharmaceutical antibiotic, if the pet gets sick, we can do some natural antibacterials. Well, there's nothing in the veterinary manuals about using that. So then there's this fear if we don't follow what's been sanctioned by the, you know, AVMA, which is our big organization, the National American Veterinary Medical Association, if it's not sanctioned by them or sanctioned by our state board, I think people are just afraid to go outside the box. I think that's in general, you know, there's this safety in feeling like, well, as long as I'm doing what everybody else is doing, then, you know, this should be okay. Going against the grain is a tough journey. But I, you know, for me, once I have, you know, seen with my own eyes how much it benefits pets, you know, again, I couldn't practice any other way.
Yeah. I just, of course, being in this business and seeing the side that we see sick pets, you see sick pets, right? We're looking at that saying, why are these dogs having issues? And we have to look at what is being put into their body and on their body. I mean, there are things, you know, you got to remember, guys, that skin is your largest organ, right? So some topical things that you're putting on the dog's body aren't great either. But primarily, we're talking about things that are going into the body today. And, you know, here's what you want to do. You want to have on your dog's file at your veterinarian's office or wherever you take your dog, whether that's a boarding facility, whether that's, it doesn't matter. You need to have it stated clearly, no vaccines without owner's permission. No vaccines without owner's permission. All right. So that they clearly know that they're not going to sneak them in there and say, oh, well, he's here. Let's just shoot him up today.
And no. I would go one step further and say with written consent, meaning give an estimate, it's written and signed consent, because you know, they could also say, oh, well, we thought you told us, you know, then it's a, you know, you said and you said kind of thing. So get it in writing, you know, there should be no question.
Right. Now, people are always emailing me saying, what do I do? I can't do this and I can't do that. Well, you can do a lot of things. I think you just have to dig and research. But, you know, in this article, I was talking about boarding or daycare. Okay. So what are you going to do if you have to board your dog or you have daycare and you don't want to have your dog vaccinated, right? Well, number one, as Dr. Jasek and I always say, if that particular business isn't going to adhere to the health regimen of your family and your dog, find another provider. Find another. People say to me, well, I'd like my vet. Okay. Doesn't mean, you know, you can still like them and not do business with them, right? Right. I mean, just find another provider. In this article, it says offer to sign a waiver. So many businesses are worried that your dog's going to get sick on their premises. Sign a waiver, waive their liability if your dog gets sick. Ask about titers. We just talked about that. Many businesses will accept titers in lieu of vaccinations if they understand what titers are. So make sure that you understand what titers are so that you can explain it to them. I'm always amazed that people still don't know what titers are, Dr. Jasek, but that's all right. And the one that I like the most is get in-home care. Get in-home care instead of boarding or daycare. You know, there's a lot of dog sitters out there or walkers that can come to your home.
You can do whatever you want when they're coming to your home. That's my favorite. I feel like that's the least stressful for dogs, unless dogs, you know, it's a dog that's just super, super social and just loves playing with tons and tons of dogs at a daycare. You know, I think it can be kind of overwhelming for a lot of dogs. And if they're home, they're in their regular routine. And like you said, somebody can come in and walk them once or twice a day or get, you know, an in-house pet sitter, somebody stay at your house when you're gone. There's a lot of people that do that. I always just start asking around when I need a new pet sitter or if my regular one can't come. I just start asking around. I always like to get a word of mouth recommendation, but there's a lot of people out there doing that type of thing.
And groomers, right? How many mobile groomers are there in the world? I used to have a mobile groomer come out and groom my doxies, right? They'll bring their van to your home. So you don't have to take them into a groomer if they're going to require some sort of vaccination. And trainers, right? So we have a trainer. And here's what I know about trainers. A lot of them don't even understand these vaccines. They don't. And if they're in the business of pet health and, you know, pet stability, they really probably should get a little more educated on this. But titers, you want to, you know, explain the titer situation to them or have them come to your home, right? Again, maybe they don't want to do it in a group setting, but you can have them come to your home. If you want to look for a holistic vet in your area, those websites are thetheavh.org or ahvma.org. Or Dr. Judy Jasek, ahavet.com. So there's lots of ways that we can address these issues without just saying, well, that's just what we have to do. Because then I start getting the calls on butt scooting, which we can probably talk about next week. You know, a lot of people are like, ah, my dog's scooting. His body's got allergies. Right now, we're going to start seeing itchy dogs. We've got a lot of new things sprouting up outside. Dogs are scooting their butt. It's not always the food, but I will say this on anal glands, guys, remember that we need stiff poops to naturally express anal glands, not smushy poops.
Mm-hmm.
Someone said, well, I was adding pumpkin and squash and they're still scooting on the ground. And I'm like, well, we need stiff poops and not smushy poops.
Right. Right. Need something for that sphincter to grab onto and push it on out. But you know, a lot of times dogs' allergy symptoms will show up on their butt. So it can be the anal glands. And you know, definitely if your dog's doing a lot of scooting, you probably want to get those checked. But it's also one part where, or part of the body where we'll see the springtime itching crop up.
you know, ears, butts, you know, dogs are out there sitting in the grass, being exposed to some new vegetation. They haven't, you know, been around for, you know, all winter. And here, I know here in Colorado, every year is different. So the dogs that react in the springtime, it's usually different dogs will react different years because, you know, to this year has been very wet. So you got all kinds of stuff growing. Drier years, we don't get quite as many dogs to react, but there definitely can be seasonal stuff going on. And the other thing too, to keep in mind is that once a dog starts scooting, it perpetuates itself because they scoot. And then the scooting starts to irritate their bottom and their bottom's more irritated. So you start to get in this vicious cycle where it becomes important to try to, you know, distract them, get them, you know, lots of exercise. Sometimes there's topical things you can put on if they're just real itchy to kind of break that cycle. Cause sometimes dogs will just keep themselves itchy because of this self trauma.
Well, and doing some research on anal glands, because I get this call a lot, is what can cause an imbalance that causes them to scoot? Back to what we're talking about. Oh. Drugs and chemicals, poor nutrition, and what? The big V.
And oh God, please. I had a case this last week too. Don't feed a vegetarian dog. I guess one of them,
what?
Natural Balance, I think, has a elimination diet where they've eliminated all the meat protein and made a vegetarian diet. So that's promoted for dogs with allergies. Don't do that. Not only are you still feeding all the processed carbs that are probably part of the problem, and you're starving your dog nutritionally. So please don't go down any roads like that. That's just a terrible product, in my opinion.
You know what? There are many studies going on right now. They are pushing this meatless society. They're pushing this meatless society, and they're going to push it in dogs. And I was looking out some research in the UK, and they were saying that there are research studies going on right now on how bioavailable a lab-grown meat is going to be for dogs. And how much protein is actually in bugs and crickets and stuff like that. I'm just like, well, I'm not opposed, Dr. Jasek, to crickets and stuff like that. But how many crickets can we get? You know, right. How many bugs do we have to get to feed our dogs?
It doesn't make sense. Yeah, I think they're floating out that as, you know, sort of a new agenda. But yeah. You'd have to have an awful lot of bugs.
Listen, you guys, proteins that are from animal products like collagen, elastin, keratin, those are all vital for healthy skin, muscles, joints. And that is almost impossible to get from a non-meat diet or a plant-based protein. It doesn't contain the correct balance of amino acids. So I don't get this. You're going to prescribe a vegetarian diet when we've had all this controversy about cardiomyopathy and grains and blah, blah, blah. And then you don't make the connection that a vegetarian diet doesn't have the right balance of amino acids.
And there are a number of holistic couple that I've heard of, pretty well-known holistic veterinarians that are promoting the plant-based diet too. So just be aware and be careful. People will try all these different elimination diets, quit this protein. But all doing kibble, as long as they're on the kibble, it never works. It doesn't even work. And unless they suppress it. So then they'll put the dogs on Apoquil or something to suppress the symptoms and say, okay, now you need to stay on this elimination diet for the rest of your dog's life. But look, it worked, but that's just because they're suppressing the symptoms. So, you know, it's, education is just key. You have to educate yourself so that you can get in and really advocate for your pet.
Well, they're doing these vegetarian diets for cats. I'm like, well, here's the thing. Once we start seeing bone disease and stunted growth, okay, and heart problems, because we're probably going to see that because they don't have the amino acids. I mean, maybe people are going to wake up. It just drives me crazy that you have to have a little pain, maybe a lot of pain, before you wake up, stand up, and snap out of it. Right. I mean, if you like pain, then don't do research, because pain is coming your way.
Yeah, right, right. You have to change the way you think about things and all sorts of ways in this world today, I believe. But definitely, you want your pet to be healthy, man, just you have to start with that foundational diet. Do you keep your pet really, really healthy with a strong immune system? They're not going to get heartworm disease, or they'll be a lot less likely to get it. So you have to start with this good foundation. And this is what gets just overlooked in veterinary medicine. Well, the vets aren't trained, in their defense, but they should realize that nutrition is so important. And if they don't get trained in vet school, then they should get trained somewhere. All of conventional medicine, when used long-term, it makes pets sicker, does not make pets healthier in the short term. For symptomatic treatment, or in the case of an emergency, then of course, you know, you would do some conventional treatments to treat the pet for shock or whatever is going on. But then you can't do that for long-term care. And that's what's being trained into the veterinarians that's okay. You know, and I see drug stat. You know, we were talking about pain meds before, and how that's just, let's not get to the root of the problem. Let's just start, you know, giving them more and more and more pain medications. And you just end up literally poisoning the pet. And I know where the point I got to, and, you know, maybe your daughter is sort of going down this road too, that you end up, or I ended up feeling like I'm just a pawn for the pharmaceutical companies. They're coming in, they'd come in the clinic, they'd, you know, buy you lunch, tell you, you know, why you needed to sell this particular product, or something would happen to your patients. You know, like the way vaccines are sold to veterinarians is, well, you have to give these vaccines or your patients are going to get sick, and then they can sue you, you know, because it's going to be your fault. Well, it doesn't even feel like medicine, because medicine, one of the reasons I named my business Animal Healing Arts, medicine is an art, and it's very individual for each patient. The, you know, conventional pharmaceutical industry would like you to believe that every dog is just a replicate of every other dog, and they get the same protocols, and you have a diagnosis. And once you have a diagnosis and you put a name to something, then there's this treatment protocol. Natural medicine is, we look at the dog, you know, we're, you know, even transitioning diet, you start them on raw. There's some blends they really like, other blends they don't, some they do better on. Well, you figure it out based on the dog's response, because they're all different. It's not a one size fits all. So you end up, or I ended up feeling kind of like a trained monkey. Like, is this it? Like, this is what I actually got to the point where I'm like, I went through all that school for this, to be a pill pusher and a vaccine pusher. Like, it's gotta be something better out there. And then that started my, you know, my exploration. But I've always been a little more of a rebel. So
thank God. That's why we get along. That's why we get along, because we can say sphincter and not worry about it. We hope that that's helped you today. Every podcast that we do, we hope we're giving you courage. We're giving you some information, giving you courage. You know, your slogan is, be a champion for your pet, right? Be a champion for your pet. If you're not going to do it, who's going to do it? It's your job. It's your pet.
Yeah, absolutely. And you have to do your research. There's so much. I mean, the, you know, one comment I hear so much from my clients, it's really, there's so much conflicting information out there. You read one thing, and then somebody tells you something else, and some other vet tells you something else, and you got to get yourself educated and find out what's true and what's not, and what are reliable sources of information. There's a lot of good information out there, but there's a lot of bad a lot of bad information too, or invalid information. So you have to really start researching and asking some questions on behalf of your pet.
Well, look, there's a lot of things in the world that if I turned off my logical brain, I would buy into. Mm-hmm. So turn your logical brain on. What makes sense? And I get it that we have been indoctrinated with stuff that just isn't true. We have to look at why are we treating things with pharmaceuticals that we can just treat homeopathically, through nosodes, through a much gentler environment, because there is a cost to insulting the body. As I've heard many times, you become a lifelong customer of the pharmaceutical industry if you go down a certain path. And then we see it day in and day out with the dogs. It is no different in the human side. All right, Dr. Jasek, well, thanks for joining us. And, you know, hopefully you can get Chris on board to eat just 3 weeks out of the month.
yeah, next time he complains about the grocery bill, right?
Bugs, it's coming to.
Oh, yeah, we'll start buying crickets.
Right, crickets. All right, everybody. You can find Dr. Jasek on my expert page, or you can go to ahavet.com. Remember, here at Raw Dog Food and Company, your pet's health is our business, and friends, don't let friends feed kibble. We'll see you next week, everybody. Bye bye.
Oh, snap.
Find out how you can start your dog on the road to health and longevity. Go to rawdogfoodandcompany.com, where friends don't let friends feed kibble, and where your pet's health is our business.
Just snap.